Well, welcome to Archaeology News Weekly. Yes, I'm David Connolly, and I bet you've been wondering exactly where I was. Well, times have been a bit hectic, and I'm afraid personal family trouble has also knocked me a bit out of sorts, as my mother would say. So, such is life. And I would like to extend my apologies to everyone who has been wondering exactly what's been going on. I'm afraid I'll also be taking a well-deserved holiday in Turkey next week, so there will be another gap next Monday. However, I will be back the following week, and we'll also be getting back onto podcasting. All the best to the tens of thousands of you who actually tune in every week to the Stone Pages and Badger podcast. And I'd just like to say that it is here to stay. And while we're on that, let's get started. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Bronze Age pits are discovered in Scotland. The Beltane Heritage Conference in Ireland will be all about Tara. Stone Age rice farms are found in China, and an Iranian reservoir has been concealing an archaeological gold mine. The now famous Rotherwas Ribbon campaigners question the council's decision, and a new archaeological find rewrites Tasmania's history. Florida State may try and buy an ancient burial ground, and Ice Age Australians sheltered in caves in Tasmania. We have more about a Neolithic baby that was found near Peterborough in England. And finally, a bursting comet. Is this to blame for the Ice Age extinctions? Bronze Age pits have been unearthed in Scotland that may shed fresh light on life in the banks of the Forth 4,000 years ago. Archaeologists carrying out routine inspections found pottery in 8 small pits in a site in South Queensferry near Edinburgh. Mel Johnson, project manager for the archaeologist CFA, said that she thought the small pits would be used for rubbish, or perhaps burials, and proves that there were people either living, working, or taking part in some kind of activity in the area. Way to go, Mel. That's an archaeologist's way of hedging your bets. Archaeologists will continue to excavate the pits for another 2 days, trying to unearth other clues to Bronze Age life in the area. The dig is being carried out as part of planning conditions for development of homes on the site. Although the discovery is significant for the area, it will not jeopardise or delay the development. And in a way, I think that's the point there, that we can actually get the information and the archaeological information from a site without having to worry about delaying development, housing developments or roads. Something to think about there. The archaeologist appointed to monitor developments at the proposed route of the M3 motorway through Tara, Dr. Connor Newman, will be the main speaker at the upcoming Beltane Heritage Conference in Raphoe in Ireland. Dr. Newman, lecturer at NUI Galway, will focus on the importance of Tara through 6 millennia of Irish history when he addresses the conference on Saturday, October the 6th in Cathedral Hall, Raphoe. He'll be joined by Dr. Brian Lacey of the Discovery Programme, an institution for advanced research in Irish archaeology. The conference will begin with a performance by local schoolchildren on Friday, October the 5th at 7:30 p.m. in the Cathedral Hall. Talks begin on Saturday, October the 6th at 10 a.m. and will run until 5 p.m. at the Cathedral Hall. Registration for the conference can be made through the Beltane website. That's www.beltany-circle.com. That was www.beltany-circle.com, or by phoning 074-917-3966. Stone Age Chinese people began cultivating rice more than 7,700 years ago by burning trees in coastal marshes and building dams to hold back the seawater, converting the marshes to rice paddies that would support growth of the high-yield cereal grain. New analysis of sediments from the site provides the earliest evidence in China of such large-scale environmental manipulation. Using data from the site, it's possible to extrapolate a timeline back to the first attempts at domesticating rice, which would have occurred around 10,000 years ago. That is contemporary with the development of agriculture in the Middle East. The findings, being published in the journal Nature, also shed new light on an ongoing controversy in archaeology. Just how long did it take for crops to become fully domesticated? The evidence from China and new finds from elsewhere indicate that the process took much longer than researchers previously thought. In fact, people were getting all the benefits of agriculture before plants were fully domesticated. A team of archaeologists have recently identified over 100 ancient sites at the Semara Dam Reservoir in western Iran's Ilam province. The sites have been identified as belonging to a whole array of eras, including Neolithic, Bronze Age, Copper Age, Parthian, Sassanid, and early Islamic. The Semara Dam is located 30 kilometers northwest of the city of Dar es Shahar. The filling of the dam has been scheduled to commence at the end of the Iranian year, which is March the 19th, 2008. The archaeologists have until then to complete their investigations. Campaigners fighting to preserve the Rotherwas ribbon in England say they will be taking the issue further after they claimed a council scrutiny committee to endorse a plan to build a road over the Bronze Age find was invalid. The 4,000-year-old pathway of stones was discovered during work to build a relief road to an industrial estate near Hereford. Herefordshire County Council's Environment Scrutiny Committee called in a cabinet decision to build the relief road over the archaeological find, also known as the Dinador Serpent, and endorsed the council's decision. Now, campaigners and councillors who oppose the decision to preserve the ribbon for future generations under a protective layer and build a road over it are questioning the validity of the scrutiny committee process for a number of reasons, including a failure to discuss certain evidence pertaining to the importance of the find and a lack of key witnesses. More information on the ribbon can be found on Herefordshire's archaeology website, and you can also see the campaigners' website at www.rotherwasribbon.com. That was www.rotherwasribbon.com. A recently discovered cave in Tasmania's remote Southwest World Heritage Area in Australia has yielded clues to early human occupation. For a long time, everyone thought that the Franklin River Valley was uninhabitable, and when the Australian Hydroelectric Commission approved the dam project in the early 80s, it was assumed that no archaeological remains were at risk. But then, the discovery of Limestone Cave revealed a mass of artefacts. Only now has the find been actually analysed by archaeologist Gillian Garvey, who has sifted through 250,000 animal bones and 75,000 tool fragments from the cave, and found that far from the area having never been occupied, there was actually people living here for quite a long time between 15,000 to 20,000 years ago. Awarded World Heritage Area status in 1982, which secured its survival, this incredible primeval wilderness is now protected. Used as a backdrop in the Walking with Dinosaurs documentaries, it continues to amaze the world and is slowly revealing its many secrets. At one point this year, Manatee County officials in Florida, USA, were considering a purchase of the Pillsbury Temple Mound to ensure the site's preservation. Now they're trying to save the site by just agreeing to trim the lawn. Conservation Lands Management Department Director Charlie Hunsicker has worked to protect the one-acre site northwest of Bradenton from development, even considering purchasing and preserving the mound. But after property tax reform slashed the land conservation budget from $5 million to $2 million, there was just not enough money. The new prospective buyer is the state's Acquisition and Restoration Council, part of Florida Department of Environmental Protection. The council in August wanted to see a more in-depth review of the site before deciding to purchase it. Now, the seller remains the South Florida Museum, whose museum board in February decided the mound did not fit the museum's educational mission. State officials are expected to visit the mound during the first week of October for more research and to determine whether the site is at risk from development. Wheeler said it would come before the Acquisition and Restoration Council for consideration in December. Well, I thought I was confused. So the museum is selling it because it's not an important heritage site, only to be bought by another department who actually do think it's a... Well, tell you what, you work it out. Ice Age Aboriginal Australians protected themselves from bitterly cold winds by flocking to caves in one of the most inhospitable parts of the continent. So says archaeologist Ian Gilligan. a postgraduate researcher from Australia's National University. He laid out this new argument in the current issue of the journal Antiquity. And he says that the only real evidence for Tasmanian Aboriginal people during the Ice Age is in the very coldest, windiest southwest corner of the island, and that in itself is a paradox. Researchers have found Ice Age Stone Age tools in rock shelters and caves in the southwest, but not in other parts of the island. Until now, he says researchers have not explained why people once flocked to the exposed southwest, because scientists have underplayed the importance of protection from the cold in determining where people live. He argues the caves and steep valleys of the southwest provided important shelter from the chilling winds. Whilst the temperature may have been somewhat colder in that area, what the southwest offered to humans during the glacial maximum was protection from the wind. There is no actual evidence of Ice Age Aboriginal people living on the coast in the milder months during the Ice Age, but they would have had abundant food in the form of fur seals and mutton birds. He says that evidence for Ice Age habitation on the coast is likely to be destroyed by rising sea levels. Archaeologists have unearthed the tiny skeleton of a 3,500-year-old baby at a quarry near Peterborough in England. The discovery was made close to the centre of a Bronze Age burial mound at Pod Hole, a sprawling gravel quarry west of Thorney. Coming 2 months after the well-preserved remains of a Bronze Age man were found 50 metres away, experts are convinced that they have uncovered an ancient cemetery. The stunning discovery of the baby, which was under a year old, or possibly a stillborn birth, was made by Phoenix Consulting Archaeology during routine excavation work. The child was lying in a grave lined with birch bark and a complete pottery vessel, with an offering of grain or wheat inside. John Penny, who is a senior surveyor for Barden Aggregates, which runs the quarry, said that excavation work at the site has been ongoing for 8 years now, and until then, little had come to light regarding the men and women who lived in the area. However, in recent months, the archaeologists have come across remarkable evidence that points to the lives and routines of people who carved out an archaeological landscape in the area. It is hoped some of the artifacts will eventually be displayed at Peterborough Museum and Art Gallery in Priestgate. And finally, what caused the extinction of mammoths and the decline of Stone Age people about 13,000 years ago remains hotly debated. Overhunting by Paleo-Indians, climate change and disease lead the list of probable causes. A team of international researchers reports evidence that a comet barreling towards Earth exploded in the upper atmosphere and triggered a devastating swathe of destruction that wiped out most of the large animals, their habitat and the humans of that period. The detonation either fried them or compressed them because of the shock wave. In fact, it was a mini nuclear winter. The paper was just released online in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. No one has yet found a giant crater in the Earth that could attest to such a cataclysmic impact 13,000 years ago, but the research team offer evidence of a comet 2.5 to 3 miles in diameter that detonated between 30 to 60 miles above the Earth, triggering a massive shockwave, firestorms, and a subsequent drastic cooling effect across most of North America and Northern Europe. The evidence for multiple detonations comes from 4-inch-thick black mat of carbon-rich material that appears as far north as Canada, Greenland, and Europe, and as far south as the Channel Islands and California and the Carolinas. Evidence of mammoths and other megafauna and early human hunters, known as the Clovis culture, are found beneath the black mat, but are missing entirely within or above it. The black mat was formed by the ponding of water and algal blooms and contains carbon, soot, and glassy carbon remnants of burned material. Some of these remnants are extraterrestrial in nature. A hydrogen bomb is the equivalent of around 100 to 1,000 megatons. However, the detonation we're talking about here was around 10 million megatons. The research team believes that the detonations destabilized a vast ice sheet, and the result was rapid cooling of about 8 degrees over 100 years. Impact airbursts may be more common than previously thought, with possibly 2 or even 3 such events having occurred over the last 100,000 years. And I'm afraid there are sure more are to follow. Well, on that cheerful note, and providing there's no comet airbursts, I'll be back in 2 weeks. But can I remind you that there's many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities to be found on both Badger, www.bajr.org, and Past Horizons, www.pasthorizons.com. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you once again for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. See you in 2 weeks.